God, you're good. And Lord, to be in your presence for one day will be better than to spend 1,000 years elsewhere. And Lord, we look forward to that day when the sufferings of this life are washed away and we realize in the truth of eternity that they were not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed when we are with you. So God, as we study the word tonight, would you speak to us and would you encourage us from it? In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start here, the message tonight is entitled, Liar, Liar, Soul on Fire. So we figure we get right to it because there's some issues here. Let's go ahead and read through these verses and then let's go back and talk about it. Starting in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, as we've been going, there have been the if we say has come up before, and now we have these three statements all together. And I think it's important to realize that many of us are very fond of First John. I was thinking of a verse in Romans I'm going to get to, I think. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we're very familiar with that as kind of the Christian's bar of soap. We use this one all the time where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet we have to remember that it's sandwiched in between these two other verses regarding truth, where it says here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So let's go back and let's begin at verse 8. Let's take it apart. Let's begin to talk about it together. It says, if we say that we have no sin. Let me explain what he means by this. It's important to the context. He is not saying if we say that we have no action of sin. In other words, the idea of that we might commit a sin or error or trespass. What he's saying here, he's speaking of the nature of sin. He's saying if we say that we do not have the Adamic nature of man, I know it sounds like a big fancy issue, but remember the scripture says that through one man, sin entered the world, and through one man, righteousness came. Who is the one man through which sin entered the world? His name was Adam. That's right. That's why it's called the Adamic nature of man. And so what he's saying, he says, look, if we say that we do not have the nature of sin, if we do not have that nature of sin where we just have a desire to sin, how many of you guys recognize the desire to sin in your own flesh? Right? Don't touch. Why not? How many of us do that? That's the Adamic nature. We're told don't, we go, but I want to. Have you ever noticed if you tell a child not to do something, they will do it? It's like, okay, if you're a new parent, never leave the house and leave a babysitter in charge and tell your children, now don't stick beans up your nose. Do you know what's going to happen? The babysitter's going to call you because a child has put a bean up their nose. It's that nature that we have. He says, look, if we say that we do not have this built-in nature that we receive from birth, David said, in sin my mother conceived me. So sin here is that idea that as it has no definite article, it's talking about not the acts of sin, but regarding its nature. He says, if we do not have the nature of sin, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, by the way, even as Christians, we can be deceived. Christ cleanses us from all sin by his blood, but we must never think that we reach a plateau of sinless perfection. Don't ever come to that place of thinking you've got it sorted. You have it all figured out. Don't ever get to that place where you're thinking, hey, I am no longer in a place where I have a sin nature. Because if you say that, it says that you are deceiving whom? Yourself. We deceive ourselves, and I would speak to the individual. That means you're deceiving yourself. Because we will always need, and this is important, church, we will always need the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. And if we think we do not need the cleansing of Christ's blood, then we are self-deceived and the truth is not in us. We come to this place of thinking, well, I don't have a sinful nature. Oh, not me. Well, then you are deceiving yourself. And I can tell you something right now. You're the only one that thinks that. Right? Because everybody else sees it in you. Have you ever noticed that other people's sin is easily seen when it's the sin you yourself struggle with? Another way to say that is your sin is easily seen in other people. You can look at other people and you see that nature in them. You see that error in them. And you know what? We all have that. But we cannot for one moment come to a place of saying that we do not have a sinful nature. Because when we do, the only person we're lying to or deceiving is ourselves. And the truth is not in us. That means that the truth of who God is, the truth of who we are, isn't in us. It's like we don't understand that we have a sinful nature. And that we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all of our sin. Now, verse 9 says this. Now, if, by the way, this is conditional, the same as the first one. If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, then the truth is not in us. Do you see that? It's an if-then statement, which is conditional. He says, now this, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So let's talk about the idea of confessing our sins. He says, if we confess our sins. Confession is such an important part of forgiveness. Confession is also, in this case, as we read it, very conditional. But let's talk about what confession is and why it would be conditional to God's action towards us. Let me explain that to you. Because what happens is, if you see somebody who does not believe they have sin, then they will not confess it. And the word confession in the Greek simply means to say the same as or to agree with. It's the idea that confession is agreeing with God that we're wrong. So this idea of if we confess our sins is the opposite of saying that I do not have a sinful nature, thus deceiving myself and the truth is not in me. It is saying this. It's saying if I confess my sins, if I acknowledge my sinful nature, if I acknowledge my inappropriate action, I am agreeing with God that it is wrong. When I confess, I agree with God, it is wrong. How many of you have ever come to that place where you've had to just finally confess before God to say, yep, God, you're wrong, I'm right. Anybody been there? For me, it happens quite regularly. It's about half of you have come to that place. Apparently, the other half are still working it out, but that's okay. Because the idea is when I'm reading through the scripture, I find myself having to agree with God regularly. What do I mean by that? That means as I am reading God's word convicts me of my sin, of my shortcoming. How many of you can relate to that? Then when I agree with God in the word that what I'm doing is wrong, I am agreeing with him. It is confession. Yes, God, you are right. I am wrong. We all need to live in that place of doing that. By the way, our children, when they get in trouble, they go through that same process. where they have to agree, yes, what I did was wrong. Because if they don't, they have a tendency to get punished because there's no confession. There's no agreement that their behavior was wrong. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who did something to hurt you and they just said, oh, I don't see what the big deal is? But when they said that, they didn't agree. They don't understand. They're not confessing. They don't recognize it. And so there's a point here where we have to recognize what he is saying to us. He's saying, look, a person who does not recognize their sinful nature is self-deceived. The truth is not in them. But if we as a people or anyone would confess their sins, agree with God that they are wrong, their life can be forever changed because God will act upon that response. If we refuse to confess that we have sinned, we are proudly resisting God's truth. Did you realize that? Anybody's like, oh, I don't sin. I don't have a sin problem. I don't have a problem with that in my life. When we do that, we are creating for ourselves a problem. We're becoming at enmity with God, for we are in a place where we are resisting God's eternal truth. Another important fact to consider is that if we refuse to confess sin, we are also obviously refusing to forsake that sin. So for me to say, well, I have no sin, I have nothing to confess, then why would I forsake something that I don't think is a problem? How many of you guys are following where this goes? Right? So if you know somebody who says, well, I don't have sin, they are self-deceived and the truth is not in them. But if they come to the place of saying, yeah, you know what? I do recognize that I have sin. I do confess my sin. Because if they won't confess their sin, they're not going to turn from their sin. And that's why we are in a place where that if is conditional upon God's reaction to the individual. And the idea is that we need to agree with God that there's a problem in our lives. It's recognizing that we have a sinful nature. Once I recognize I have a sin problem, I recognize I need a Savior. If I don't think I have a sin problem, then I don't think I need a Savior. You guys get that, right? Why would I need to be saved if I don't have sin? Why, and by the way, so many people in this world still think that they're above sin, but they're some of the cruelest people out there. And so the idea, he goes on, he says, if someone will confess, then it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So what does faithful mean? Faithful means this, that he, God, is faithful, meaning he is trustworthy, he's reliable, he is true. If we confess our sins, God is going to act in a trustworthy manner towards us, that as we are confessing our sins, when we are recognizing our sinful nature, as we are doing that, God is going to be fully trustworthy and reliable and true in his response to us. And it says that he is just. Now, the idea of him being just is that he is righteous, faultless, innocent, and guiltless. That's what just means. But there's another issue of being just, which means able to do the right thing. How many of you believe that God is just? If God is just, that means God will do the right thing at the right time for the right reason. So if you went to court and you were guilty of a crime, would the judge be just to just let it slide? He would be an unjust judge. Because you committed a crime, you need to be punished for it. God, when it comes to our sin, it says here, if we will but confess, agree with him about our sinful nature and sinful actions, that he is faithful, trustworthy, and just. Just is he has the justice to forgive us because our price for our sin has been paid. How many of you guys understand that? The price has been paid. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And so he is just to forgive us because the price for your sin has been paid. God does not just say, it's all good, not a big deal. Your sin was such a big deal that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Jesus Christ came to die for us. He's just to forgive us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we are in a place when we confess our sins that God is going to be trustworthy and reliable in his justice as we remember that we are sinners and God is the only one who's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins. See, again, he's not just saying it's not a big deal. He is saying very clearly that he is faithful, just, able to do justly on our behalf because of what Jesus did to forgive us our sins. This is the first of two benefits that God promises when we confess our sins. The first is here, that he will forgive us our sins which we have done. He's going to forgive us those things. A sin is an offense committed against God. And by the way, you guys hear it all the time. We use it all the time. I ask you that question, have you told a lie? You're all going to raise your hand. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you that you just started. And we're going to go over that all again, right? But here's the deal, right? We understand that by our conscience itself will bear witness of our sin. And a sin is an offense committed against God when you break God's commandments. How many of you, by an honest show of hands, recognize that you have a sinful nature? Because of that sinful nature, you have broken the commandments of God. Then we have a problem, right? Thank God that when we confess, agree with God that we have a sinful nature, we agree with him, we say, yes, I recognize that. It says that he is faithful and trustworthy to do what? And just to forgive us of our sins. If we confess, he will forgive us. But the second is this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a second promise that God makes to those who confess their sins. So the first who confess their sins, he will forgive them of the sins which they have done. Those who will, and also then those who confess their sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That means that God not only forgives us of our sins, but he begins to purify our hearts. How many of you recognize you're not the same person you were the day you believed? You're different, aren't you? How many of you guys recognize that cleansing of your life? Things that begin to go away, things that were very commonplace in your life, and those things when we confess our sins, we agree with God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been sinning, doing something stupid, and as you were doing something stupid, at that moment, as soon as you were done doing that something stupid, you had that overwhelming sense that the Holy Spirit just smacked you in the back of the head because you just recognized what you did was just completely wrong. Anybody? Oh, praise God, I was afraid I was the only one who's gonna raise my hand. But it's like I just sense it, boom, it's like right there. I thank God for that conviction. Do you know why I thank God for that conviction? That means I am still alive. That means the Spirit of God is alive in me and that when I say or do or act, God is there with me saying, what you just did was wrong. What must I do at that moment? I must confess, agree with God that what I did was wrong. And if I agree with God that what I did was wrong and I confess my sin, I recognize I have sin. If I recognize I have sin, I must be willing to forsake that sin. But he, in all of this, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is a condition of a polluted soul. This verse helps us understand how complete the cleansing of God is. When God comes in and he begins to work in us and we confess our sins and we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We can be forgiven of our sinful actions. We can be cleansed from the pollution of our hearts if we will only do but one thing. Confess our sins. How many people in the world today are so prideful, so arrogant, so stuck in themselves that they simply won't confess that God is right and they are wrong. Why is that? Is it because they actually have a little God complex? They think they've got it all figured out. They think they have life figured out. They're in control of their own destiny. They've read enough self-help books to figure that they can help themselves with any situation because they don't need a God. They have become God unto themselves, but the problem is they're still destined for an eternal destruction. You know what the worst part is? Is we will look at their lives and go, they're the only ones who think they've got it together because we can see that they're self-deceived. And so we want to be very careful. This is a world that we live in. Well, what happens is he goes on and he says this. Now, this is kind of that bookend. He says, look, if we say that we have not sinned. Now, the first one was the nature of sin. This is the action of sin. So if we say that we have not committed sin, in other words, if we say, well, I don't sin. I might have a sin nature, but I don't sin. Yeah, guess what? If you have a sin nature, you sin. That's the way that works. And so here, somebody that says, well, I don't sin. I don't sin. I might have that nature, but I've conquered it. I'm good. It says we make him a liar. Do you know why it makes him a liar? Because he said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you guys realize that? So if we say that we don't have sin, and God says that all have sinned, then we make him out to be the liar. But who's actually the liar, guys? We are. Because the truth of the matter is, we have sin. All of us have sin. It's like you're thinking, man, I'm gonna go to church tonight. It's Wednesday. I'm gonna go worship the Lord and be refreshed. Liar, liar, soul on fire, right? All we're talking about is what? If we're liars, if we're not dealing with sin, if we're not confessing, if we're not acknowledging it. Guys, we have to. But let me ask you this. Do you have people in your life that you know, that you love, that are not actually confessing their sin? And they're just kind of living. Don't raise your hand. We don't want people looking at you like, who's that? Who is it? No, don't do that. But do you know people in your life that are doing things that are wrong, doing things that are unjust, and they walk around like they do not have a problem in their life? They walk around like they have it all together? These people are self-deceived. But he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is kind of a recap, but a bookend on this, is the idea that John's been saying. He says, look, if we say that we haven't sinned, if we say that we don't have a sin nature, we are in disagreement with God, and we're basically calling him a liar because God has said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's word says we're born with a sinful nature. If we say we don't have the sinful nature, if we say we don't sin, we are saying God's a liar. And God's not a liar. The scripture says God cannot lie. In the book of Titus, God cannot lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. God is love. In him there is no darkness, no shadow, no variation, no turning. He is eternal light and glory and love and hope. And here mankind gets all ignorant and starts saying that, well, we don't have sin. We've got it all together. We don't need God. We're disagreeing with that truth of God's word that says, hey, God's word says that we are all sinners. And if we are not all sinners, then his word is not ruling in our hearts. Look, if we're gonna start a line down here of sinners, who wants to be first? I'll go first. I'll be the first one to confess that I'm a sinner. But there's something that happens when I do that. When I come to the Lord and I recognize what's going on in my life, I'm no longer lying to myself. I'm not lying to other people. I'm not deceiving myself. I'm not deceiving my own heart. And one of the things that scares me about this is the idea that God says, look, if you are doing this, if you say you don't have a sin nature, if you say you don't have sin and sinful action, then you're a liar. And you're saying God's a liar. And you know what? When you say that you don't have sin, when you say and you're not willing to confess your sin, you're not willing to deal with your sin, and you're not willing to get right with God, then your soul is in jeopardy because you think you have got it all figured out. And you think that you have made your own way to heaven. You think you've balanced the scales. And there are people out there who are doing this every day. And so we need to be those who are going to say, all right, time out. I made a mistake. What do I do? Anybody ever make a mistake? Anybody here sin because of their sinful nature, right? So what do? Confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to purify that dirty soul that we have, that nature that we have. God is able to do that. How many of you are glad that God does that? Isn't that awesome that God does that? You know what makes me sad? Is I can bring a message about the hope that God will forgive sin, and God will forgive you, and he's just, and he's able, and there will be people who will come into the church. I can share that message. They will turn around and walk out and never do anything about it, because they will still walk out saying, nope, I don't have a problem. That breaks my heart. And I'm sure we all know people like that. But I would hope that we would stand up for truth as men and women of the word, that we would go, we would know these verses really well. Because here you have the two issues. Somebody says, well, I don't have a sin problem in my life. I don't have a sin nature. You now know where to take them. Well, you know, yes, I recognize what you're saying, but I really have my life all together. I don't act upon what I'm thinking about, so I've got it all together. So I don't have a sin problem. And you can take him here and say, yeah, you do. You have a sin problem. You have a sinful nature. You have sinful action. But there's a way to deal with it. Simply agree with God that you're wrong. It seems pretty simple to me. Does it seem simple to you guys? Why do we make it so complicated? I've never understood why we make our walk with God so hard. If we know that we have sin, let's confess it. Let's get right with him. He's going to forgive us. He's going to cleanse us. Now it goes on in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to come back and we're going to take this apart again together as we go further into chapter 2 next time we're together. But the idea is look, but I'm writing these things to you that you would not sin. And the idea there is not living in a lifestyle of sin. And we're going to talk more about that. But if anyone sins, has an action of sin, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is a lawyer, one who stands and defends us. And it says, Jesus Christ the righteous, for he himself is the propitiation. He's the sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but also for the whole world. Now, he says, look, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he's writing this that we wouldn't live in a lifestyle of sin, but we have an advocate, we have a lawyer, we have Jesus Christ who died for us. That's why he's just and able to forgive us. How many of you are glad that God's able to forgive us, right? Oh, I'm so glad that God is able to forgive us. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. I thank you for the word. And Lord, as we consider these words that are here, as we consider what this means for us, that, Lord, we would come to a place of saying, you know, God, we all need to come to that place of recognizing, yeah, I have sin, and maybe we're just not really ready. Maybe we don't confess quickly. Lord, maybe there's things that we know we need to confess, but we don't. We just let it slide. We think it's no big deal. But, Lord, it is a big deal to you. Lord, whether it's hating in our heart or lusting with our eyes and our mind, or Lord, just lying, or Lord, whatever it would be that we are doing that doesn't honor you, Lord, help us to live in agreement with you every day. Just help us to live in an agreement that we're falling short and your blood cleanses us. You're good to forgive us because we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our sacrifice. And as we come before you and as we just daily say, you know, God, I recognize that wasn't the right thing to say. That wasn't the right thing to do. As we read your word and we recognize out of your word, it begins to convict our heart and we just agree with you. Yes, Lord, your word is right. My heart or my thoughts are wrong. May we just confess those things. May we be in that place of just living a life of cleansing and confession, having a short list with you. Lord, that we don't have this long laundry list of stuff we need to deal with at the next retreat, but God, we can just do it every day. Live in the freedom and the joy of the forgiveness of our holy God who is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you. Lord, what else can we say but thank you? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we go throughout life, God, we just press into you. We press into who you are. We lean into you, God, as we lean into you. We lean into you because you're the God of heaven. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you alone are the words of everlasting life. Lord, it's you. And Lord, I pray for all of us that we would just press in. We'd recognize it's you. It's always been about you. It'll always be about you. And we give over our hearts to you. We surrender to you, Lord. And we recognize we fall short. And when we fall short, we're just going to turn around and agree that we've fallen short. And then, Lord, let the flood of your love overwhelm our hearts and our lives every moment of every day as we keep that short list with you. Lord, I pray for those that are of a heavy heart that you would lift them up and give them joy. Lord, those that are struggling, that you give them courage. And Lord, those that are lost, that they would be found. In Jesus' name, amen.
Water Springs Church. Check us out at watersprings.net. And if this video blessed you, please click the subscribe button. God bless.